All right, BradCooney.com would like to welcome to the show singer, songwriter, Alter Santos. What is up, Alter?
What you say, baby? Alter Santos la casa. Poo, 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 poo.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't speak Spanish, but it sounded good.
Feeling good to be with you here today.
Nice. Okay, great. So before we get into your latest project, your latest music, tell my listeners a little bit about you, like where, when, and how you got into music first. When did it all start?
Well, I'm going to keep it short because it's a long story, but
yeah.
Everything started with my mom. She was a musician. She was a trumpet player. And I just grew up in a family of music, you know. In Dominican, you don't have a lot of choices. And, like, when you go to school, like, music is one of the things that they teach you there, too, you know, like, as a priority. Mm-hmm. And I started into music, so I see also my aunt, my uncles also play instruments. So I started with that passion for the music. I started playing saxophone. Then I went to all the instruments. I learned how to play a couple of instruments and the music school. And then after that, I wanted to start recording myself, you know, and making music for myself. Everything, I got a studio. I started recording my instrument.
Nice.
Then I wanted to try out the artist. Months later, I was already recording artists, and then everything started there making sense. And like my last thing was when one day a guy say like, hey, do you want to put lay out some vocals on my track? And I did it, and I honestly loved it, and that's what the moment I say I love it.
Okay, so what about in high school? When you were in school, did you play like talent shows and play in school at all? Was there music classes or anything like that in school?
Yeah. So because they did like something that was called Festival in Dominican, and it was like all the bands from the country, they were coming to that place and like doing a competition, performing like the whole band. So I was doing those things. I also was going to play with bands. After that was how I started like learning more instruments. But then after that it became professionally. I went to hotels, I went to discotheques, you know, like to play with bands like that, recognizing the Dominican, and like just started making sense from there on.
How many instruments can you play?
Like 7.
Really? And you learned, did you take lessons or did you teach yourself?
No, I took lessons. My teacher, I had a teacher. And we won like over 45 trophies.
Oh wow!
Like number one, solid, and all that. Cause the thing is, like, because I started with the trumpet, I loved the trumpet, but it was calling me more the attention to the saxophone. So then I started learning the saxophone, and I learned the clarinet, because if you learn the clarinet, it's more easy for the saxophone. Then saxophone of all the family, baritono, tenor, clarinet, soprano, you know, so the whole family. And I also started playing piano, and that's how everything developed and ended up with a percussion too.
Oh wow.
Okay.
That's great. You know, one thing I noticed about countries that don't have a lot of money, like Philippines, Dominican Republic, Jamaica, I noticed that there's so many like spiritually wealthy musicians and artists in those countries.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of choices in what to, like, throw art, you know, like, what to do for art. Like, it's like, and when we start something, it's very spiritually, because we want to do it because we want to live from it, you know?
Yeah.
We want to make money from it. It's not like we see it only, like, yes, it's art, but we want to do it good, because we don't have a lot of choices, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. It's true. Like, in the Philippines, I it's like everybody sings. There's some, like, amazing singers out of the Philippines. Amazing.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, man.
For real.
All right, so let's talk about your song. I watched the video, too. We'll talk about the video in a little bit. The song's called Vice Versa. You dropped this single. Tell the listeners a little bit about the song. Like, what's the backstory? What's the song about?
That song especially has an amazing story into it, and also it has a message too. So the song I created in Colombia, I did a trip to Colombia and studio, recognized studio is called Capital Music, and we read the song. And after, I was in love with the song, and the song is about a girl that is playing games with me, and she makes me believe like I'm the one that is on charge, is on top, but she's actually playing with me, and she also playing with the other guy that she has, and she actually playing one of the games. So that's why I'm saying vice versa, and then she, that's how she flipped it on us.
Okay, I like that. The title makes a lot of sense. It matches what the story is. Yeah, that's cool, man.
Exactly.
Now, is that something that you wrote based on a true story, or is that just something you like a plot you wrote about?
Yeah, it was a true story.
I knew it.
behind every song, there is some truth of it, because, you know, we are artists, we are creative, and me, I'm the type of guy that also writes when I'm feeling something. I like to write, you know what I mean? So that's why the song has some truth on it.
Yeah, man, that's great. Now let me ask you this: as a songwriter and as a creator, do you have a preference? Like, do you have a favorite as far as like creating a song? Do you prefer or get more satisfaction and enjoyment out of creating music, or do you get more satisfaction and joy out of performing the song once it's created?
Honestly, to me, I enjoy the process because I'm the type of artist. The way I do music is like, if I hear a beat, I want to go on it. Mm-hmm. I start rapping on it, and that's how the melodies flow, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm already hyped. I'm already jumped. I already want to record the vocals. I want to be in the cabin putting those ideas on, you know? Mm-hmm. So without realizing it, I enjoy the whole process. And then when I'm performing it on the crowd, it feels even better that they can feel the energy that I was feeling when I was creating that song.
So do you get a little more joy out of actually performing it than you do creating? Or is it equal? Is it like 50-50?
It's equal to me. I mean, like, it's equal. Actually, it's a goal to perform it in front of thousands, you know what I mean? But, like, that moment when you are creating something, you know that's you. That's your personality. That's when you are with yourself. That's when you are, like, you know, picking out what you have inside. It's like nothing compares to that.
I think as a musician, I play a little guitar. I'm not like great. I mean, I play pretty good, but I'm not great. But what I think was really interesting is if you look at the creation part of a song, you've created something that at one point never existed. Like your song Vice Versa.
Exactly.
Your song Vice Versa.
Exactly.
You know, 2 years ago that song wasn't even on the earth anywhere. And you created it. You made it, and it's never going away. You know, that's your creation.
Exactly.
That's exciting.
Exactly.
You know, that to me. And then the other part, the performing part, is like when I'm guessing. Now, I have not been on stage. I mean, I've played in front of like family members, but I've never been on stage and performed for like fans or something like that. So I'm guessing, you tell me, I'm guessing when you see people dancing and smiling and getting joy and singing the lyrics that you wrote, that's got to be an amazing feeling.
You know something? You might be feeling excitement, you know? At that point, it doesn't even feel excitement. You know what it is? It feels accomplishment.
Oh,
like, when you see that happen, it feels a lot of joy and peace. You know what I mean? Because I know it works.
Yeah, you know that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. It's like you kind of like take a breath and say, all right, I accomplished it. I got this done.
Yes. Exactly, because that was my intention. That's something to do to people, you know?
That's cool. That's great, man. All right, so you mentioned beats before. Who did the beat for Vice Versa?
It was the Moneymakers in Capital Music.
Now, when you hear a beat, let me ask you this. When you create a song, is there ever a time when you already had a melody in your head and lyrics and then you were just looking for a beat to match that? Or do you find usually you find yourself hearing a beat first and then creating behind the beat?
Bro, I'm going to tell you a question. I'm going to tell you something, sorry. people always, like, I think I do some interview, I do a lot of interviews. People ask me questions, but these questions that you're asking me are amazing because this is something that people don't notice when it's actually a thing. When I'm stuck, where I have a melody, and I used to make beats of my own, you know, but I don't want to do that anymore because I want to focus in writing music and like all that, because even people don't know, now they can hear, I used to do my own videos, my own production, I used to produce, you know what I mean? So I used to do it all myself, but now I just want to focus because it helps me more with my melodies, it helps me more to be an artist. And for your question, it's like, yes, I sometimes sit on the computer stuck with a melody, and I cannot do it until I get to a producer because they're going to find a right key for that melody. Because sometimes I have the melody, but they have the composition of the beat. They say, okay, that's going to sound good in this beat, and then they already put the chords. And the chords, I'm like, oh, okay, let's go through there. And yeah. I already get excited because of that, and we create a song. But there is other part to where I see a beat and I'm like, oh, damn, it sounds so good. And I go on it and I make a song.
Oh, you know that's great. I mean?
That's that. It's vice versa. Goes both ways.
Yeah, exactly. The song fits that question too. That's pretty cool. Let me ask you this. So what about when you're songwriting, how much does your mood, like how are you, all of us, like when we go through life, we have times when we're feeling really up, we have times when we're feeling a little bit down, you know, we have days where we're kind of feeling, you know, come in the middle somewhere. So like, how much does your mood, how much does your mood impact the kind of song you write?
To me, a lot of people ask me that question. So to me, it's like, I divide the world. When I'm on the studio, doesn't matter if a girl left me. Doesn't matter if something happened with my family. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. When I'm on the studio, like, my energy changes. So it goes to, like, my music is from the get-go. It's just pure energy, you know, like hype, shit, like dancing. So pretty much of the time, like, my songs, my mood, I don't let my mood affect the songs that I make because as soon as I start making a song, I forget about everything. There's nothing. It's just me and the music and the song. Like, I don't worry about anything, you know? So, like, I don't make those kind of songs sad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it sounds to me like music is like your medicine. Like, if you're having a bad day, because you're human, you're going to have a bad day. But if you get into the studio, it's like taking a Tylenol for a headache for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff, man.
Yeah, it's where I escape.
Yeah.
That's where I escape, bro.
Yep. That makes sense to me. I'll pick up my guitar sometimes if I'm just like, sometimes I'm, you know, you just get tired of everything or you get tired of people. I like to sit down and just play my guitar, man, and it relaxes me. It just does.
I understand. It's like when you play, you are connected to the source. If you are a good player and you know how to connect yourself to the source, at some point, don't even influence the source.
Yeah, man, exactly. You're so right. Okay, let's talk about the video, because I watched the video a little while ago. I really, like, you know, I really enjoyed the cinematography. The camera works really good. It looks great. I mean, I already liked the song, so I knew that was going to be okay. But then when I watched the video, I wanted to see, like, how the cinematography looked. And I can tell it wasn't just slapped together. You guys put a little time into this, into the video.
Most of my videos, I produce them, all of them.
Oh, wow.
I'm the one giving the ideas. I'm the one saying, I want the lighting this way. I want this scene to start like that. I put it all together in my head. I give it to the videographer. Sometimes I have help, you know, editing the video. And sometimes it's like, okay, you did that, send it to me. I'm going to finish it at this and this. Because that's what I do when it comes to this type of work. That's what I do best, editing, you know.
Yeah.
So it's easy to work in my production, my visual.
So who were some of the people in the video? Were those friends of yours? Did you have to hire actors, people you knew? How'd that work?
No, these are all my homies. These are all, like, people that I know, and they're around. There, some of them are friends that they see me. I want to be in your next music video this time. And I post a story, I'm shooting a music video, and they show up. You know what I mean? That type of shit like that.
So what about the girl that was at the poker table? Because she was really, really, really pretty. Like, really good looking.
She's a homie too.
That old girl, man. That girl, I bet she broke some hearts in her day, man.
Yes, you did.
Woo, man, I saw her. I had to be like, wow. That's a good-looking gal right there, man. That was a good-looking gal. Hey, man, you ain't stupid. You ain't stupid. That's smart putting a good-looking girl like that in the video.
Because you know what's up. You know what's up.
100%, man. Yeah, she looked great, man. Everybody did, actually. The video was really good. I enjoyed it, so good job on that.
I appreciate it, my brother. God bless you.
Yes, sir. Okay, let's talk about JML Entertainment. What's going on with that?
Well, not to lie, best thing that happened in my whole entire music career. We don't have loan like that. I signed a contract, not being loan.
Mm-hmm.
And a really amazing thing been happening in my career. Things that I just dream about, you know what I mean? So, and the way JML, like, just that name is so powerful to me, you know, because it stands for, like, family. It shows me every day, like, what, like, different is like of a label, you know. I have worked in the past with other labels, I have worked with a lot of people, but working with JML, and not only that, being the first artist that JML signed, and the way that they just put me in places, it's just amazing. It feels like a blessing.
Oh man, that's great, man. It's really gratifying to be rewarded for hard work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bro, exactly. Yeah.
Good stuff, man. All right, now, you dropped a song previous to Vice Versa called, make sure I pronounce this right, Sin Dudas, did I say that right? What's the name of that? How do you pronounce that song?
Sin Dudas.
Sin Dudas. Hey, we got a little cameo appearance here.
Yeah.
I love it. So let's talk about let's talk about that song a little bit. You released that before Vice Versa. So what's the latest, and what's that song about?
That one is like, Sin Duda. It's actually a song where a guy actually is like, you know, has a lot of girls,
mm-hmm.
but he met that girl that it just in his head, like, it's that innocent. She's not like the other ones, you know. She's more chill. And then they broke up. They're not together. You cannot see that in the video, but from the video explain that they've been in a relationship for a long time, you know. And now he's just missing it and showing only the part where he's missing the girl. And he's still doing all these things, but at the same time, like, he's with girl, he's waking up with bed, but at the same time, he's thinking about her. And that's what it's about, the song. And then the song is the infrastructure of that song, like what it's saying, that from the intro until the verse is like just pure slang, like the Dominican slang, and like how you call those ones, when something means something but it doesn't mean what I'm trying to say, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of those things that people like, oh, that's what he said.
Yeah, I think freestyle rappers do that a lot. When they freestyle,
yeah,
when they're dropping bars, they'll put like a line in there that's not exactly what one thing means, but it's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Something like that.
Yeah, and people get like, what the heck is this
thing? Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, man, a couple more things, and then we'll wrap this up. All right, so I read when I was researching and for this interview, I read that you have some plans going forward after you finish promoting Vice Versa. Talk about what you want to get done for the rest of the year. I saw something about it, maybe an EP and some other ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about that.
Oh, yeah. So not only that, we now are working with, after Vice Versa, the good things been happening. And I got to get in the studio with some big name producer on the industry that have been like topping a lot of the big artists that I've been following, you know, and it's a dream for me to be with those people. So after Vice Versa, we just gonna drop bangers. We have one EP coming, and then but before that I got a couple singles too that I'm gonna release. One of them is called Amantes. It's totally different vibe than Vice Versa, but it's going to be amazing. People are going to love it.
Nice. Now, once you get some more singles dropped and the EP comes out, do you have any plans to start performing, like going on tour or live entertainment?
Yeah. So we've already been receiving requests about shows and stuff. But the thing is, like, because this is a brand new team with JML, we haven't accepted the show yet until I have a couple more bangers out, you know?
Yeah.
And I can do a whole show, you know, with my new brand new
song. Right.
And also me, I haven't been saying, no, I don't want to perform yet. I want to still drop a couple more songs because I already, before I signed with JML, I already did a couple shows, like they weren't amazing with the music that I was releasing, but I felt like I needed to, like, a bigger step, you know, and that's when JML came in, and now I'm getting ready for my new sound, my new everything, so I can't wait to have, like, this repertory built and like, just start performing for the people.
Yeah, that's actually very smart. You got this new, you know, the JML Entertainment under their banner. And you got to have enough songs anyway. You have to have a big enough catalog to be able to put a show on.
Exactly.
That's smart, man. Good thinking, man. You got a good head on your shoulders. Very talented.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I appreciate
dude.
That, my brother.
You're super talented, man. You really are. I mean, you just have it. You check all the boxes, man. You know the music industry is pretty saturated, so you got to be able to separate yourself from the pack. You know what I mean?
And that's something that I've been saying to people. For a minute, like at some point in the Latin industry, for a minute I haven't been an artist. Like, you know, we have all these big artists right now, like beautiful, like a lot, amazing. But for a minute we haven't had a new artist that's versatile and is bringing something else, something different. Mm-hmm. And I feel that, like, I'm bringing that to the market right now. And I feel like I'm going to be able to separate what is happening right now to what I'm going to bring. Because what I'm making, it doesn't sound like anybody else, you know? It sounds like me, like Altus Santos. People make a lot of mistakes. I see a lot of people making songs that sounds like that already. So really, we have a little baby. We already have a Toilet. We already have a Drake. Like, we don't want to hear that again, you know what I mean? So that's why artists don't understand that. They need to be really versatile. And the fact that I can play saxophone, I can play any instrument, and the music that I create that is not only reggaeton, I think I separate myself pretty well from that.
I agree. I think it's important that, I think, you know, it's not mandatory, but I think it's really helpful when an artist can not only sing, but they can play instruments and they can incorporate the instruments into their songs. That's a lot of people. Not everybody can do that. You know, not everybody can do that.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Well, look, I had a lot of fun talking to you. So at this point in the interview, I always like to ask the artist before I let you wrap it up and tell everybody where they can follow you and get your music. If we missed anything, is there anything that you want to promote, talk about that I didn't get to before we wrap it up?
No, everything was amazing, Broski. Like, I felt pretty good and, like, I felt comfortable too with all the questions. Like, you actually hit the point.
Nice. Good deal, man. Well, man, look, super, super talented guy. I really can't say that enough. I enjoyed your song. I enjoyed the video. I think it's a banger. Everybody listening to this podcast, you need to get behind this guy and get his stuff, buy his, if he has any merchandise or anything like that, download his stuff, share it. Tell everybody out there.
Yeah, they can find me.
Yep, tell everybody out there where they can follow
me. Any platform. Yeah, they can find me in any platform, social media at Altus Santos. So Altur Santos. YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, everything.
There it is. Hey, man, had a lot of fun. Whenever you got something else you want to drop, get back with us, and we'd love to have you come back on the show.
I appreciate you, Broski. I hope you have an amazing day.
I hope you do too, brother. Good talking to you.
Namaste.